coming and joining with us in our gospel campaign meeting. We're turning to the Word of God. This is a meeting where the preaching of the Word of God goes forth night after night. And we're turning in our Bibles to a familiar book of the Bible and familiar chapter, Luke's Gospel chapter 15. And we'll commence reading at verse number 1. That's Luke's Gospel chapter 15. And we commence reading at the first verse of this passage of God's infallible truth. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And Jesus spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, and said unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise there shall be, or joy shall be in heaven, over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman hath 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and diligently seek till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost. Likewise I say unto you, that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. We'll end our reading there. Keep your Bibles open. We'll bow our heads and seek the face of God in prayer. Let's pray together, please. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity that Thou hast given us to preach the gospel and to preach Thy precious word. We pray that, O God, by Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt take Thy word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that it might be for individuals in this place tonight. We pray that Thou wilt search them out, and, O God, I pray that by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt draw them unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that there's salvation found in Christ and in Christ alone. We thank Thee that we can say, now none other can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus, it's found in Thee. And, O God, we pray that men and women may find that eternal joy and eternal life in Jesus Christ this night. And so to this end, I ask Thee, O God, to empty me of sin and self. And, O God, just apply the blood afresh to my heart and make me clean. And fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. That everything that is said and done tonight will be both led of Thee and guided by Thee to the hearts of individuals. And, O God, that Thou wilt save those that are lost. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I suppose one of the most familiar chapters in the whole Bible is the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. We have there some of the best known stories, especially the third of the stories that are mentioned from verse number 11, the story of the prodigal son. And so whenever we look at this chapter, what we find is this: we find God's lost and found department. And I once was lost, the hymn writer said, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Now, whenever we read God's word and we get a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, often we see the Savior and He's warning. He's the warning Christ. Remember, He said, Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, and woe unto thee. He was speaking to the city of Jerusalem, and yes, indeed, the other cities that had been privileged so much in hearing the word of God and the presence of Christ himself, and yet they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and walked away from him. The warning Christ, often we read in the word of God. When we come to the book of Luke's gospel, we see the weeping Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ looked over the city of Jerusalem and he wept over that city. He said, How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would gather her brood under her wing, but ye would not. And so we see the Savior with a broken heart over those that are lost. But when we come to the 15th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, we have the welcoming Christ. And I want us to think about the welcoming Christ this evening. Now, in the 14th chapter, we find there in verse number 25, it said, "And there were went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, there were many people that came to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, whilst there were the multitudes that came to hear him, if you look at the last verse of chapter 14, it says, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." And so, whilst there's a multitude coming and listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings it down to the individual. "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." Now, in this 15th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, and perhaps it's familiar to you, I want us to look at it afresh, and I want you to notice it here. It says in verse number 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Here we see that men and women desire to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that was my prayer, and I know it's my brethren's prayer for this County Armagh, that as this mission continues, that there'll be a desire in men and women's heart, even in spite of themselves, that there will be a desire to hear the Word of God. And so we find here, it says, "They drew near unto him." They drew near to Jesus because they wanted to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. Now, who was the they? It says in verse number 1, they were the publicans and the sinners. The publicans, of course, were the tax collectors. They were looked upon as traitors. They had betrayed their own country. They were collecting the taxes for another people. Those that were indeed placing great burdens upon the people of Judea. And they were hated. These publicans were hated because quite often, not only did they take that which was due, but they were greedy and they often made themselves rich by impoverishing others. And so the publicans, and yet we find that whilst these people were, in many times they were rich and had made themselves rich, yet you notice they hadn't satisfaction in their heart. And there's many a man and many a woman, friend, let me tell you, their bank account's filled, but they haven't peace in their heart. And here we find that these publicans, with all that they had gathered together, yet Jesus Christ, there's a drawing power by the Lord Jesus Christ that's attracted them, and they want to hear him. Oh, that men and women will desire to hear him tonight. Not this preacher, but to hear him. Hear the voice of God. May the voice of God speak to your heart. But not only were the publicans desiring to hear him, the Bible says the sinners were. Now, who were the sinners? They were looked upon as the morally unclean. The morally unclean. Do you remember the woman came in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, came into Simon's house? And she was a notable woman. She was a woman that had beguiled many a man and led them into sin with her. And this woman came into the presence of Simon's house, and the Lord Jesus was reclining on the seat, and he was there to eat the food that Simon had set before him. And this woman came behind the feet of Jesus Christ, and she knelt down at the Savior's feet, and she wept. And whenever Simon saw that woman, he said, "You know, if you had been who you say you are, you would have known that she is a sinner. She is a sinner. She was morally unclean." In other words, she was known for her actions. They were vile, they were rotten in character. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ knew these people. The Lord Jesus Christ knew the publicans. The Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly who these sinners were. And yet, notice the charge that was made against the Lord Jesus in verse number 2. "This man receiveth sinners." Hallelujah, he does. Thank God, that's the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, receives sinners. And my friend, if you acknowledge that you're a sinner tonight, I've got good news for you. Christ receiveth sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ, it said here, he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Lord Jesus sat in the company of these sinners, these people that were known for their open sin, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ sits there in their midst. He associates with them as they eat and sits amongst the guilty and the sin-ridden and the heavy-laden, but he comes with a message of deliverance and salvation. And thank God tonight, I can tell you, if you're here tonight and your heart is guilty because of your sinful past, perhaps you're carrying a burden, and my, your soul is sin-ridden tonight. Maybe you're heavy laden and nobody knows what's going on in your heart. Let me tell you, my friend, Jesus knows and Jesus cares. And Jesus Christ came to meet the need of these people. But you know, that's why he came. The Lord Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. God commendeth his love to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And the Lord was happy to receive him. And I'm glad I can tell you tonight, if you're a sinner tonight, the Lord's willing to save you. Thank God he's able to save you. He's able to save. The word of God says, to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him. And there's not a person tonight that's too far down in sin or too deep down in sin. But praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ can reach you, and he can cleanse you, and he can make you clean. Remember leading a man to Christ, an elderly man who was in his 80s, and the joy he sent for me. And I'd known him for many years and preached to him for many years. And one day he sent me and he asked me to come to his house. And as I sat there in his home and I was opening the scriptures and we talked together. I said, friend, what is your desire? He said, Mr. McCrae, I want to be saved. Thank God, my friend, that old man of over 80 years of age, he called on the Lord to save him. You know what he said to me? He looked at me in the face and a smile across his face after he called on the Lord. And he said, preacher, I feel clean. I feel clean. And thank God, my friend, that's what the word of God, it tells us, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. We read about it last night. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But not everybody was happy. Look at verse number 2. It says, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, they weren't happy what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. You know, sometimes whenever a poor, old, filthy sinner comes into a meeting, people turn their nose up and say, you know, I wouldn't sit with him. Let me tell you, friend, just be very careful, because remember, when God found you, you were as rotten as them. Maybe the smell was different, but I can tell you this, as far as the stink in the nostrils of God was concerned, you were just as rotten as them. There's not, my friend, a good sinner. The Bible tells us every one of us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And your sin is rotten in God's sight. All your righteousness are as filthy rags in God's sight. And so these people, these Pharisees and these scribes, they murmured against the Lord Jesus. Now notice what happens here in verse number 3. And Jesus spake this parable unto them. Mark that. Jesus spake this parable unto them. Now, who was he talking this parable to? He was talking to the Pharisees, and he was talking to the scribes. This is, he was speaking this parable specifically to them. You know, the Lord Jesus in his ministry, he was a plain preacher. A wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. The Bible tells us the common people heard him gladly. They understood the Savior. Remember a person talking about his minister one time, and he said, you see that new minister we have? He's absolutely powerful. And absolutely, he's absolutely amazing. Now, I don't understand a word he says, but nevertheless, he's powerful. Let me tell you, my friend, I'm not here to preach over your head. I'm here to preach to your heart. And I want to tell you, my friend, like my blessed Lord Jesus, he was a plain preacher that every man could understand. Now notice, not only was he a plain preacher, he was a powerful preacher. The word of God calls, it says, the officer said to the Pharisees, never a man spake like this man. He's a powerful, powerful preacher. And I pray that God, by his Holy Spirit tonight, not by any effort of this preacher, but I pray that God will make the message powerful to your heart, to the salvation of your precious soul. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And I tell you, my friend, that's what I'm relying. That's the one that I'm relying upon. I'm relying tonight upon the power of the Holy Spirit of God to take his word and to write that word upon your heart. Not only your ears, but your heart. That God will implant the word into your heart. Oh, that God will take his word The Lord Jesus, he was a powerful preacher. But I'll tell you something else, he was appointed preacher. Because notice what it says there in that verse 3. He said unto, spake this word unto them. He looked them straight in the eye. And the Lord Jesus, as he was looking them straight in the eye, he says, listen, I'm talking to you. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus in John's Gospel chapter 3? Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee. I'm talking to you, Nicodemus. Not talking by you, I'm talking to you. Not talking over you, I'm talking to you. And Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The Lord Jesus Christ is not talking about the Pharisees, friend. He's talking to them. You know, sometimes people sit in gospel meetings and say, you know, he's having a queer dig at them tonight. Let me tell you, friend, I'm not here to dig at anyone. I want the Spirit of God to take his word and write it upon every heart. The preachers too. Oh, that God would speak. An awful tragedy that men and women could come into a meeting and God say nothing to them. I pray that God will speak to you, that God will make this applicable to you. I was preaching a mission up there in outside Castle Derg. A young man came in for the first time in the meeting into that mission, and he was going home in the car, and he said this to his friend. He said, you know, that preacher was preaching to me all night. Friend, I knew nothing about him. I never saw the lad in my life, but he said he was just preaching at my life. Just, that was me. And the man said to him, sir, the preacher wasn't doing that. That was the Spirit of God. I tell you this, my friend, it's a fearful thing if you can come to a gospel meeting and God's got nothing to say to you. And sinner, I tell you, I wouldn't be in your shoes for all the world. If you can come to gospel meetings and God's not speaking to you, you're in trouble. And you ought to say, like we Samuel said, speak. Speak for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord. Oh, that God would speak to your heart. And here was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't talking about them. Jesus was talking to them. And then notice what he says. Look at verse 4. This makes it personal again. It says he was talking to them. And then Jesus said this, what man of you? He's now bringing to an individual. What man? What man of you? Which one of you? Which one of you? Do you remember Pilate in Matthew's Gospel chapter 27 and verse 22? Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus? He was talking to the people. But friend, he realized that he had got to make a choice. He was asking them what he should do. And here we find the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he spake this parable unto them. But then he says this, what man of you? Talking to you. Some years ago in my congregation in Macrofelt, there's a lady brought her mother. She'd been a number of times at our meetings, but this night, Sunday night, was different. I remember when I was shaking hands at the door, I watched them walking down the steps and out into the night, and I noticed this woman standing there, and she was putting her finger under her daughter's nose, just like that. I asked the daughter after it, the daughter said to me in tears, she said, Mr. McRae, mother said to me, she said, you'll never make a fool of me again. She said, Mommy, what do you mean? She says, you told that preacher all about me. She says, Mother, I wasn't talking to the preacher. She says, you were. And you'll never make a fool of me again, for I'll tell you, I'll never be through the door. My friend, the preacher wasn't talking to that girl, and I knew nothing about the woman, but God knew all about her. And God was speaking to her, and God was challenging her about her life, and God was challenging her about her soul, but she didn't want to hear it. Now, the truth of the matter was this, friend. The end of that story is this. She never was back. Just a few weeks after that, in the middle of the night, as she lay upon the pillow, a visitor came to that house in the stillness and quietness of the night, and without a stir, reached for the vital cord of life, and took that woman away. It was the angel of death. And that woman went out into God's eternity. And the last thing she had said to the Lord is this, you'll not make a fool of me again. I want to tell you, my friend, she was a fool.
to die without Christ.
See, that's an awful thing to say, preacher. The Lord Jesus said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Don't play around with the things of God, friend. Don't fool around with the things of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked them straight in the face. And the Lord Jesus Christ told them this parable. He took an earthly story, friend, and he threw it alongside a solemn, eternal truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ made it personal to their soul. The Pharisees, of course, they were one of the most influential groupings, religious people of the Jewish society. They were one of the strictest religious sect of Judaism. They had a strict adherence to the Jewish laws and rituals. They were deeply religious, but they didn't know the Lord. And Ulster's filled with them. People are so religious, friend, and yet they don't realize they're standing before God. The scribes, they were skilled in the Jewish law. They were scholars. They were experts. Let me tell you, friend, you could be a minister and not be saved. It's sad to say many are. You could be an elder and not be saved. And sad to say across Ulster, many are. You could be a Sabbath school teacher and God give you the opportunity to sit in front of little boys and girls and tell them the truth of the gospel, and still you're not saved. And alas, many are. Just like those scribes and Pharisees, religious, but they're lost. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to bring a message to them, and he says, "Which man of you?" And then he brings three illustrations. Now notice it says there in verse number 3, he spake this parable. I believe the three stories are one parable. He didn't say he spake these parables, he said he spake this parable. And there are three specific stories that the Lord Jesus are illustrations. But there's one thing that equaled them all. In verses 4 to 7, it's the lost sheep. In verses 8 to 10, it's the lost silver. In verses 11 to 32, it's the lost son. Now what's equal to them all, friend? They were lost. They were lost. And here we see the single point that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to these Pharisees and these scribes, and he was telling them about the lostness of humanity. You know that word lost means to destroy utterly. In actual fact, it is the same word in John's Gospel chapter 3 verse 16. See the word perish. That's the same word in the original. And men without the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're religious or irreligious, my friend, whether you say I believe in God or whether you're an atheist, I want to tell you this, you are lost. You are lost. And if you die lost, you'll be utterly destroyed, eternally lost. The lost sheep, it was lost because of its own foolishness. You know, I was reared in the farm, and practically of all the animals, the sheep's the stupidest animal. It's dumb. Let me tell you this. I'm sure you've seen in the programs at times, and even circuses used to have them. You can train an elephant, and you can train a dog to do all these different tricks, and you can train a horse, but you never saw a trained sheep. You can't train a sheep. A sheep's as dumb as it can get. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, all we like sheep are gone astray, let me tell you, he's not really just giving you a wonderful description, because it's not intelligent. And I want you to see the sheep here, because this sheep was with the rest of them, was there and then was brought out onto the pastures. And now the sheep had put its head down and it started to eat the grass. There was a little pieces of grass, because there in the eastern country, it wasn't like the fields of Ulster. And my the sheep would seek to get a blade of grass, and so therefore would put the head down and would munch the grass, and then it would move here and would move there and would move. And listen, my friend, it didn't understand what it was doing. It was wandering away from the flock. It was going away from the shepherd, but it didn't understand what it was doing. In its foolishness, it wandered off. There's something else about a sheep. It can't find its way back. You know, many a dog has been let off. I remember a boy saying to me one time, and I love dogs, and let me tell you, I could have given him a tip in the ear when he said it to me. He said, you know, I wanted to get rid of that dog, and so therefore I took it some miles up the road and I let it out of the car, and I said, that's the end of it. And he said, I wasn't home maybe for about 3 or 4 hours. And he says, until the next thing started, about this knocking, kind of thumping around or barking around the door, and here's my dog standing there. He found the whole way home. But I tell you, a sheep not find its way home, because it can't. But here's the saddest thing about that sheep, friend. It didn't know it was lost. That's how foolish. Now you might laugh at the sheep, but let me tell you, friend. Know what Jesus says? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And dear unconverted person, that's the life that you're living tonight. You're just like that animal there, that sheep that now is wandering. You're going your own way. It's not God's way. Because God's way is Christ. And you're going your own way. And you're taking your own way. And the sad thing is this. You don't know you're lost. You don't know you're lost. What an awful realization when a man realizes that they're lost. I remember years ago when God gave Anne and I 5 children. And we were over having a break over in Belgium. And we were along the beach, along the beach. And to tell you the truth, friend, there were thousands of people on that beach. And our kids were all small. We went over to this van. It was selling ice cream, and went over. And of course, I was getting the ice cream and would give them. And I gave it to one of the children, and I handed her the ice cream, and then to the next one, the next one, the next one, the next one. And Anne and I, we got the ice cream. But unknown to us, one of those little girls, she took that ice cream. And she was so caught up with ice cream, she just wandered off. And there were thousands upon thousands of people, friend. And after I'd got the ice cream, I was just gathering the wee flock around. But she wasn't there. And I can honestly say before God, friend, the horror that filled my heart when I realized amidst those thousands of people, my little child was lost. Daddy, have you a son that's lost tonight? Does it bother you? Mommy, have you got a child that's lost on the way to hell? And they're out in the world tonight. Tell me, can you sleep well? Does it bother you that they're lost? Out in the world and lost. When I realized that child was lost, fear struck my heart, but thank God. She had the sense, and she went to a policeman, and she stood with him. And we ran up and down the beach, and Anne ran one way, and I ran the other, and we left the children with Winnie, who was with us in Belfast. And we ran looking for her, and thank God we found her. The tears were running down her cheeks. She said, Dad, I was lost. And yet you're here tonight without Jesus. And you can sit in a gospel meeting and you'll never drop a tear. It doesn't bother you.
and you're lost.
Lost without Christ. Lost in your sin. Here was the sheep, and the sheep was lost. Because of its foolishness. The silver was lost because of her carelessness. I don't know what happened. You say, well, what was the silver? Listen, whenever a man got betrothed to a woman in Bible times, he didn't give her an engagement ring. He gave her a band. It went round her head. And she wore that band. It was a band with 10 pieces of silver. And in each one of those pieces of silver would be his name. And she wore it proudly because she loved him. I belong to him. But one day something happened. And she lost a piece of silver. You know, if a woman had been taken in adultery, she'd have been brought before the elders of the city, and they would have taken the centerpiece of silver off her. And there'd be a piece missing, and she would walk around in shame. And it would know the sin she committed. Now, my friend, this Bible does not tell me that that woman had committed adultery. But somehow that piece was lost. And I had burdened her because the Bible says she took the candle, she swept the house until she found it. It meant so much to her. But she lost it because of carelessness. The third story Jesus talked was the prodigal son. And he was lost because of his willfulness. And one day he decided, I'm leaving home. It's greener on the other side of the fence. And I'll heave home in the restrictions of family. What was equal to them all, friend? They were all lost. And Jesus said, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was. That's right. Lost. That's why he came. He came for lost sinners. But friend, if you do not take your place as a lost sinner, you'll never be saved. You know what Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36? What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he lost his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul's the most precious possession you have, man. God breathed into man and he became a living soul. And one day God will say, thy soul shall be required of thee. And my friend, you'll give it up at the command of God. You go out into God's eternity. And yet, men and women, they think their most precious possessions, their big motor car. My, they just love it. There's nothing like it. Or their big home. Or their big bank account. What a fool. Because you leave those all. You know, one day somebody else will drive that big car. And someday somebody else will walk up the stairs of that big house. And one day, friend, somebody else will cash the check from that bank account. Not you. And Jesus said there's something more important. It's your soul. And yet men and women are living today as if it didn't count. They're precious. Precious soul. the story. But notice quickly, the search. It says there in verse number 4, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. I wish you had time tonight, and I don't, but I wish you had time to go into all the details here. Because in those three things that were lost, I see two perspectives. The finding of these three things, there are two different perspectives in their finding. First of all, the shepherd that lost the sheep and the woman that lost the coin. I see it from heaven's perspective. And I'll explain that simply this way. Let me tell you, friend, the sheep did not seek the shepherd. And the coin didn't seek the woman. But the shepherd sought the sheep, and the woman sought the coin. There we see the sovereignty of God in the salvation and the seeking of the sinner. Now there's two great thoughts that are interwoven together in the scriptures concerning salvation, and it is the sovereignty of God, and the second one is the responsibility of man. And if you look at the lost son, that's from the human perspective. Because you'll find that when the boy was in the far country, the boy said, I will arise and go to my father. When did he say that, friend? When he was sitting there down in his lostness. And then he thought of the father. And he said, how many hired servants of my father have food enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He thought about the goodness of the Father, and he says, I will arise and go to my Father. And he arose. Those two perspectives are summed up in one verse of Scripture. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, in verse 37, it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But the rest of the verse was, and him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. You have got to come as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, if I'm going to be saved, I'll just let God. I'll let God do it all. And if I'm not, well, that's just it. It's all God's responsibility. Listen, what we find here is this, that the shepherd took the initiative. The shepherd wasn't satisfied with the 99. He went after the one that was lost and sought it until he found it. But the Word of God says, there is none that seeketh after God. And left to yourself, you'll never seek God for him. That's why people say to me, why is it that men and women can sit on meeting after meeting and they're so unconcerned, and they can go out through the door after hearing about hell and about God's judgment and about their sin and what about it is to go out into a lost eternity, and they can go out through the door laughing? Aye. Because of themselves, that's exactly what they'll do. The Spirit of God has got to speak. Spirit of God has got to apply the word. And I pray, oh Spirit of God, shake men and women in their sin. You know what the Bible says? It says, Felix, tremble. As Paul preached on righteousness, upon temperance, upon judgment to come, Felix, tremble. But remember this, friend. He only trembled. That's as far as he got. That's as far as he got. And I'll tell you this, while he was preaching, there were a lot of others were standing around, and courtiers and all the rest were listening as Paul was speaking. But you notice, my friend, it doesn't say anybody else trembled, just Felix. He only trembled, and only Felix trembled. The shepherd went after the sheep. He climbed the hills, went down over the ravines, crossed the valleys, seeking, calling. And that's what God does for sinners, friend. He calls. He calls. Come unto me. Come, sinner, come. And I can hear the shepherd calling. Where's the lamb? Where's the little lamb? And then he hears the bleating in the distance. And I, with renewed energy and vigor and vitality, he runs to where he hears the bleating lamb. And he looks down there, and there's a lamb caught in the thicket, in the briars. It has tried to get itself out, but it can't. Maybe there's people here tonight and you've tried to change your life, but you can't. You've tried to live better. You've tried to get rid of the booze. You've tried to get rid of the morality, but you can't do it. You've gone back into the sewers of it again. But that night or day, the shepherd came. And he kept on going until he found it. Verse 5, and when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulder. Note it didn't say if he had found it. He says when he had found it. And I tell you, God's going after you, friend. God's going after you. And I sometimes wonder what it'll take before you'll be found. Some years ago, there was a father over in Georgia, in the United States of America. He had a little boy that he was 6 years of age, and he begged his daddy to come to the gospel meetings, but his father refused to come. Wee boy would plead with daddy, please daddy, come to church, but many times the father would curse the wee boy, tell him to get out of his road. It was a Sunday morning, and the wee boy went over to daddy, and daddy was sitting out in the porch reading. The wee boy went over and he says, Daddy, it's Sunday, you come with me to church. And daddy angrily responded to the child and told him never to ask again. The wee boy went into the back, let a little ball out and start to play in the backyard. Tossed the ball in the air, and suddenly he dropped the ball, and the ball rolled out onto the road, onto the highway. Just like many another little child, the wee boy ran after the ball, and the vehicle came down the road. Smashed the wee boy into the air. They fell. The wee boy was dying. The father ran from his seat where he'd been reading the paper. Oh, he doesn't care about the paper now. Runs out and runs to the child and lifts the child up in his arms. This is what the child said. He says, Daddy, will you come to church with me now? And holding the child in his arms, the father realized what an awful, cruel sinner he was. And he cried on God with his dying child in his arms, and he called on God to save him. But it took the death of his child to find him. I wonder, friend, what it's going to take for you. Running away from God. How many times has God called you? How many missions have you heard the call of God in? How many times have you sat in the gospel meetings and your heart was troubled
And the voice was God was calling you to repentance, but you said no and no and no to God. You never uttered a word, but that's how you did it. You went out from the gospel mission unconverted and unsaved. God's falling after you. But tell me, what will it take for God to find you? And when he'll found it, they said he laid it on his shoulder. Yes, the pity of the shepherd. He didn't whip it. He didn't drive it. He stooped down in love. And he lifted up that poor, wounded sheep. And the Bible says he placed it on his shoulder. Took the front legs in his hand. And the back legs on that, and he lifted it. And he put it on his shoulder. Listen, that's not the pity of the shepherd. That's the power of the shepherd. For thank God, he's able to lift the sinner from the gutter and set them free. And as he placed that poor wandering sheep upon his shoulders. Notice this, move through. The song of the shepherd, verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth his together his friends and his neighbors, and said unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep. Notice that wee word. This wee sheep's mine. The whole way home, I can hear the shepherd say, you're mine. I went after you. I loved you. I cared for you. I was even willing to die for you. You're mine. God's son died for you, friend. God's son shed his precious blood upon the cross of Calvary to keep you out of hell. And he wants to make you his child. But I want you to notice one wee thing. When did he start the song of rejoicing? It says in verse 6, when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me. But that's wasn't where the song started. Look at verse 5. It says in verse 5, and when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He was so glad. I sang tonight, it made news in heaven. That night, I was saved. Oh, there's plenty here. There's the joy of the finder. The shepherd was joyful. There's the joy of the found. Thank God, the night God saved me, I was happy. There was the joy of the friends. He gathered his friends together. Listen. There's the joy of heaven. There's joy in the presence of the angels. What does that mean? That's the joy of the Father over one sinner that repented. I wonder tonight, is there someone in this gathering that have to confess before God, I've wandered far away from God? Maybe there's someone here tonight and you've been cradled in the gospel from your earliest day. You learned the wee hymn writer, the hymn, Jesus loves me, at a mother's knee. You heard a father pray. But you're not saved. And you're far out there in the far country, friend. Far from God. But tonight he's calling you. He says, come. and he's seeking you. Just as he sought out Adam in the garden, he said, Adam, where art thou? Adam didn't run after God, friend. No. God ran after him. And God said, Adam, where art thou? Let me ask you tonight. Where is God's Son's concern? Where are you? Come on, friend, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Are you in Christ? Are you saved? On your way to heaven? Or are you without Christ? Closer to hell than ever you've been before. And maybe tonight, in hell itself. And yet you're in a gospel meeting, where you can be saved. Will you come? Will you yield to him? Will you let him lift you? Will you let him forgive you? Will you let him save you? Come and welcome to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word tonight.